There again, I thank the sisters this morning for the song service and all of you all to come out to hear Brother Al once again. And I pray that I'll be a blessing. My two sisters back there, Caron and Brenda, good to see you all. Always good to see you in the house of God. It's always good to see you when you ain't in the house of God. Know that you're on this side of the grass doing good. You know, God has been dealing with me and a lot of other people. What's going on in the world here today upon our earth. How things are just going backwards instead of forward. People are falling away. The church. I just have to speak on the church because, you know, if the church doesn't have any truth, have no guidelines, no guidance for the world, then we're just lost as they are. The church is going back. They're rethinking, they said, about this same-sex marriage. I don't always be getting down. It's just a sin, period. Talking to young people and all kind of people about fornicating and not, you know, being married and living together and sleeping together. My question was to the people, where does it stop if you don't tell them? You know, where is the ending of this sin? You know, whatever sin that we find ourselves in, and I don't want to be calling none because all unrighteousness is sin. You know, somebody got to tell the folk that they are wrong and it's not godly. You know, because we serve a holy and a righteous God. So when you see the people celebrating sin, it makes me want to step back and say, I don't want to be a part of it. Because wrong is wrong no matter how you look at it. And there's that song that I listen to. I know the Bible is right and somebody's wrong. And as you look out here in this world, you can see it's a whole lot of somebody's are just wrong. You know, people, the church has gotten, I guess, tired. And they don't know what else to do. They tired of praying. They're tired of fasting. They don't know what to do, but now they're going along with the sin. They're allowing everything to be in the church. God said he called a peculiar people. You know, I know all I have is a high school education, but when I think about that word peculiar, it means somebody strange, somebody different. And when you look at the church and you look at the world, I don't see no difference, none whatsoever. And if we as the church that are called by his name, if we don't stand for righteousness, if we don't stand for holiness, and as we was talking about Friday, I can truly see now how the church is going to be, not maybe, the church is going to be persecuted. They are. Because once you start doing things contrary to the world, like we're supposed to be doing, the church is going to look at you like, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? That ain't the way it's supposed to be. And all I ever hear is, I'm not under the law. And I'm going to be honest with you, I get so sick and tired of hearing, I am not under the law. Yes, you is. You're not saved by the law. That's what Paul is talking about. You're not saved by the law. But every word that God spoke, you under it. Every commandment, Jesus said, he don't do his will. He came to do the will of the Father. He said, if you love me, and we say that we love God, everybody love God. But it don't stop there. He said, if you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. And I can't see where the men, you raise your children up a certain kind of way. You put some attributes in them, some right. You know, tell them about their wrongs. I can't see them when they grow up saying that what my daddy taught me was wrong. I can't, yes they do, but I can't see it. Reason why I'm saying it because when Jesus came on the scene, we are making God a lie because we're saying that Jesus said it's okay to do this stuff. And it's not so. It's not the truth at all. So therefore, the church is really going backwards. And God is trying to move us forward. You know, people are praying and asking for the gifts. This fivefold ministry that we're supposed to have, I think we're supposed to have to edify and build up the church. And that's good. But we got to live right. It's the small things that we are doing as the church that's eating up the vine. Small things. And if you really want to get down to it, I believe every church will be emptied out, because I'm just going to say abomination means what it says. I don't care how you look at it, what you say, how you feel, what you believe, it's written already. God said he ain't going to change. His word ain't going to change. He said heaven and earth, we say, may all pass away. He said it shall. It's going to pass away. He's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth. This stuff is going to pass away. But what he said, that's what you're going to be judged by. What he said. You're going to be getting up there. I ran across a scripture where people, when they stand before him, that what he told them, what they were trying to, you know, bargain with God about, kind of stuff that's going to be going on, I think we're going to see. I think it's going to blow our minds. Some of us, all of us, oh, I told them, you know, everything. And we got to hold on, saints. I'm going to be preaching out the God word is going to last forever. No matter what, it's time for us to move forward, stand on the truth, whether they like to hear it or not, tell it. We can tell it in the little street, because that's the only thing they understand sometimes. You know, sometimes not go back and live, but you got to go back where they can understand. You know, you got to talk a little bit of intellect with them, I guess. But I don't know too much. You know, I can tell them, look, I was there. I've been there. Ain't nothing good in the street. Nothing. To where God is trying to call us. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this and before your precious people, God. I do thank you, Lord, again in the absence of our pastor, Lord. I pray, Father God, that if it's just one or two words, God, hey, Lord, I pray, God, that you will bless and anoint me. In Jesus' name, amen. And I know you all know the stories about told Moses to send on over there to spy out this land that he told him. And the Lord spake unto the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them of the children of Israel. And down here it speaks on all the tribes. I ain't going to bore you guys with my reading. No, y'all know still. I'm going to jump down here to verse. And cut down from this a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bought of the pomegranates and the figs. The place was called Brook Eshkol from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 years, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness, unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land, whither thou sendest us. And surely it floweth. I told them already long time ago that he was going to so much. Coming out of Egypt, coming across the Red Sea, God told them that this land he was going to give them. He promised our household. God promised to save our children. God promised that he made a lot of promise, but I guess in the midst of our going through, we forget going the other way. The way that we came from, we want to go back versus something that you don't know. But God already told them that he was going back. The evidence, after Moses told him to go and search this land out, here's the evidence that God, look, it's this land he said, I'm going to give you. It's so hard. And they just didn't believe. Though we go through the trials and tests, you know, but one thing, you know, being under the word of God, I ain't done. It's hard to do something wrong. It's hard to go back. Yeah. It's hard. You find yourself drifting away. You know, believing the media, believing what your friends are telling you. You know, give them perfect peace. If they'd have kept their mind up on the God, up on the Lord in the wilderness, in this perfect peace, and then when he told them to go and take this land, they would have went and did just what he said. But here now, here in 28, they get a little messed up. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. Now see, they were doing good, and they brought back the evidence that this is a good land. It flowed with milk and honey. Moses, the Lord, was right. But, we always got a but. But, it's some things, some people that we didn't saw. It's some trouble that I'm up against that I don't think that we're able to do it. You know, that kind of got, that got God angry. And he said, go ahead and take what I'm giving you. I'm sending you, I'm commending you to go out there and get it. You know, we forget after we go through so much in our life that where God has brought us from. You know, I can think of so many testimonies when a brother stood up here, Brother Love, and he was preaching about testimonies, and we went over to church. You know, all of us, we got so many testimonies that if just one of us stood up and tried to give all our testimony, it probably would take up the whole testimony service. Because we know God has done great things for us. You know, when you start to remember and look back where God brought you from, what he done for you, you know, can't nobody tell it like I can tell it when I was laying on my floor in my bedroom asking the Lord to come and get me. Because the pain was so unbearable. Lord, come and get me. I just can't take this. You know, I feel like somebody running around in my head. You know, I feel like I'm losing my mind. But then when the light came to me, the word came to me and said, and called me by my name and started to say, I won't put nothing on you that you're not able to bear. He said it three times. But then it quickened my spirit. And I said, you know, you're right, Lord. You said that you wouldn't put nothing on me that I'm not able to bear. Though I was going through in my mind, I mean, just ready to go, I agree with the word of God. Had I not known the word of God, that would have went in one end and out the other. I would have been like a lot of guys that had that have that problem, ready to commit suicide. One time when we was living on Page, my wife said she saw me reaching up in the closet. So we soon to forget when we go through, but if we keep our mind on the word of God, we keep our eyes off the world and keep our eyes upon God, we ain't got to worry about going backwards no more. Because we will remember what was back there. Ain't nothing back there in the world. Ain't nothing in the world. Ain't nothing in the street. Amen. I don't want to go back to Egypt. Amen. I don't want to go back to living the way I used to live. Lying, stealing, cheating. You know, some people just want to revert back to what they know. They want to go back to hustling. They want to go back to shooting craps. They want to go back to selling dope. It's easy to when the pressure's on. I remember when my son was looking for this job. I didn't have the words to tell him. I spilt out all the words. I said, Lord, you're going to have to do this thing. But have him wait. He called me in tears. Won't nobody hire me, Dad. I don't know what else to do. I'm listening to him, and I couldn't come unravel, about ready to come unravel. But the Spirit told me, just tell him, trust God. And that's all I can tell you. Son, you got to trust God in times like this. Don't you give up. God knows that you gave your life to him. He knows that you're trying. I said, don't you give up. Then one day we get a phone call and say, he got a good job. So we can't give up on God. We can't let this stuff press us out. We got to keep moving forward, saints of God. When they came to Moses and told Moses all of this stuff about these big men, these giants that's in the land. We can't do it, Moses. It's impossible for us to do it. Sometimes we tell ourselves that. Lord, it's impossible for you to heal cancer. It's impossible for you to do this thing for me. It's impossible. I don't know. But all we got to do is believe the word of God. All we got to do is believe the word of God. And when Caleb, verse 30, stood up and he stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." We need some Calebs nowadays. We need Calebs in the church. We need Calebs in our homes. We need them on the street. We need them on the jobs. We need somebody that's going to stand up in the midst of all of this turmoil and say, we are well able. We are well able to overcome whatever it is that we're going through. We can do this thing. We can do it with the help of the Lord. With God on our side, who can be against us? Can't nobody come against us and defeat us. Can't nobody do it. We need some Calebs. We need some Joshuas. We need some men, women that's going to stand up, put their eyebrows up the top of their lining and say, "You know what? I don't care how it looks. I don't care how you feel, but God is able to do this thing." You know, though they may not be believing what you're saying, but you got to believe it first. And when you start believing it, then you know what? It's going to agree with them. He looks serious. You know, they gauge you. They look at you and say, "Oh, he don't mean what he say. He just talking. He just lurked there over there with them folk over there he's sitting in." When you keep on talking the way you're supposed to be talking, keep on testifying the way you're supposed to be testifying, somebody going to believe you. Everybody ain't going to receive the witness. Somebody going to believe you out there. We don't know who they are, but everybody ain't going to believe the witness. But then the men went up and they said, "We are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitation thereof, and all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which were the giants, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers. So we are in our own sights." You ever felt like that before? Going through sometimes, you feel like you're so small. You can't conquer nothing. It ain't gonna happen. It just ain't in me. You know, I hear that often too. It just ain't in me to do that. But when I was in the world, everything was in me to do what I wanted to do. And when it come to God, it ain't in me. That ain't none of me. Oh, well, see, that ain't my calling. You know, God ain't called you to do nothing but to believe. That's all he called you. It ain't in you. Well, what's in you? What's in you? When troubles and trials, tests come, everybody finds out what's in you. If you ain't standing, they find out that God ain't in you. If they find you standing, praising God, they know something is in you. They probably won't say, "It's the Lord that's in you." Amen. Sometimes we feel like grasshoppers with what we go through. We see ourselves as nothing. But you know what? You can see yourself as a grasshopper. That's okay. You know, you can see yourself. But when you see God, he's more than any giant. God is almighty. You know, every problem that you face, you feeling that you're a grasshopper, just step back a moment. Look at the problem and look at God. Say, "God is almighty. He's bigger than this problem. God is bigger than this here. Oh, this here ain't nothing. This is just a small thing," they say unto God. "Lord, this ain't nothing but something small to you. It might be mighty and big to me, but you know what? We serve a mighty God. We serve an awesome God. God is able to keep that which was committed to him against that day." Now, if you've been committed, God is going to keep you. So don't worry about how God is going to do it. Don't worry about how big this problem is. Don't worry about, you know, the situation. Yeah. Heard one of the sisters the other night said they're up against something. You know what? They ain't up against nothing. That thing, you got to measure that thing with God. When you start pulling out that tape, measuring that ruler, It ain't no match for God. It's a small matter. It's a small thing. I don't care what it is. Your kids ain't saved. That's a small matter. Bills due. Oh, that's a small matter. Just let us do what he tell us to do. Pay them. Give those tithes. Bring those off and watch and see. He said, watch and see. Try me. Watch and see. Then I don't open up the windows of heaven. This is the gospel, saints of God. This is the gospel that we just got to obey the voice of God. So it don't make no difference how big the situation it is. God is greater. You know, down here in chapter 14 and verse 4, they said they got to murmuring and complaining and coming against Aaron and Moses about them being out there, and they can't do this thing. It's just impossible. I know somebody had told Pastor when she moved out, it was gloom and doom. It's impossible. You know, she's out here. Here we are. It may be still gloom. It may be still doom. It may be still dark. But you know what? Every time we come out here, it gets light. Because Jesus is in us. I don't care how dark it is. I don't care how dark it is. John said the darkness can comprehend it. The darkness cannot overpower the light of God. So it don't make no difference what's going on out here in Westville. We are more than able. It don't make no difference what's going down in Ferguson. God is more than able. It don't make no difference what's going on in your house, how your husband, your wife, your children act. God is more than able. But don't be like the children of Israel, like some of us be sometimes. We sit back. We complain. We murmur. They said in verse 4, chapter 14, and they said one to another, let us make a captain. And let us return back to Egypt. Isn't that something? After all that they seen God do, let's go on back. Who gonna part the Red Sea for them? Moses wasn't going back, I bet. How they gonna go back to Egypt? Who gonna part the Red Sea? You know, they don't want to go forward. It's too hard to go forward, y'all, but it's easy to go back. That is so true. That is so true. But God got angry about that. Go back for what? What you gonna go back to the world for? What you gonna go back to Egypt for? Eat leeks and die? That's what they said. No, I want to go forward, eat the goodness of the land, and live. That's where I want to go. And we know this ain't our land. We're looking for another land. We're looking for a better place, a place called heaven. That's what we're looking for. We're just pilgrimaging down here, y'all. We're just passing. We're in our wilderness right here. They in their wilderness. They was in their wilderness. This is our wilderness. We have our complaints. We have our tests. We have our trials. We forget sometimes, but let us remember what God has done for us. God has brought us through some mighty things. God has blessed us tremendously. I could have been burying a couple of my kids, but there they sit. God's word is true. So we got to believe God. The moment you give up on God, you in trouble. Because he told them, every man that came back with that bad report, and all them folk got the murmuring and complaining. He said, from 20 years and up, y'all won't go to that land. Doubtless, you will not go in this land. He said, but from 19 on down, they gonna go. Now God sent 12 men over to spy that land. And I had to looking for Sister Flippo paper about these numbers. And I don't know why I start thinking about numbers. But when I start to look up the number 12, number 12 means a divine government, God's authority. And God sent 12 guys over there. 10 came back with a bad report. Now 10 means human government, human law. See, they let the flesh get in the way. They took their eyes off the prize that God told them that he was going to give them. They let flesh get in the way. God had, look, I'm giving y'all authority. He said, look, Moses, you sent 12 people over. You sin. That means he's giving us authority. Jesus sent how many out? He sent 12. He said, I'm giving you the power, the authority to heal all manner of sickness and diseases, to have power over the unclean spirits. Jesus said, look, I'm giving y'all power over all the power of the enemy. And yet we still forget that we got authority down here in this place. We got power over all the power. All the power. And nothing, he said, nothing by any means shall hurt you. So what are we afraid of? What were they afraid of when God said, look, go and get this? When you tell your son, your daughter, say, look, go over there and get that. Daddy won't give it to me. Tell them, I said, give you that. I'm using my house. Give you that controller to that Xbox. Daddy said, give me that controller to Xbox. Here you go, boy. That's the same way God does it. God tell us to go and do this, go and do that. When God said, all he's doing is waiting on us to act upon his word. We just got to act upon God's word. It ain't that we ain't going to get it. You're going to get it if you go and get it. They went over there and they let the human flesh, they let that human get in the way. And when Jesus sent this 12 out, he said, go out there and do this thing. Then they go and do it. The Bible said they turned the world upside down. That's what the Bible said. They shook up the world. Muhammad Ali thought he shook up the world when he won that heavyweight champion. No, these disciples shook up the world when they started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who shook the world up. They shook the world up. And when when the two came back with just a good report, and that was Caleb and Joshua. Now, two means witness and support. Now, we know you got to have the witness. When God told Moses that, look, you, them, 20, everybody 20 and up ain't going to go except for Joshua and Caleb. And everybody under 20, they going to go. Why did God just send the two? Because the wars that wasn't corrupted with this unbelief, God went on to let them go over there. Everybody that was murmuring and complaining, if they had a went, they would have contaminated them kids with that unbelief. But he had to send the two guys with him, because out of the mouth of two, every word is established. Now, if he just sent Caleb, and Caleb was over on the other side with them, he'd tell them all the goodness of God, somebody probably would be like, no, man. You know how you do when somebody tells you something, you look around, it sounds too good to be true, you're looking for a witness. Man, did anybody else see that? Did anybody else hear that? But see, he sent Joshua with him, so Joshua would say, amen. It happened. He brought us out of Egypt. He kept us through the wilderness. He fed us bread from heaven. And he bringing us over here to take this land. It happened. So two mean witness. Now, when we go out, sometimes we ain't got a brother or sister with us. When me and Tawana was in Chicago, boy, we showed tag teams some folk. We sure did. We tag teamed some folk. And I was saying to myself, Lord, that's how it's supposed to be. Man, you know, I like to talk about the Lord. You know, don't get me wrong. People think I like to talk about the Lord now. You know? And sometimes people might say, well, you know, they don't want to hear that. But man, I was talking, then here she chimed in, talking to this little girl at the museum. When we got finished talking to her about the Lord, it probably would have cost us maybe $60-something to get in the museum. And I'm saying to myself, man, I'm glad we didn't pay to get in here, because I would have been upset. Good Lord, $60-something. So when we got through all, she said, click, y'all come on with me. I said, where we going? She said, duh. I said, well, I'm just dumb. You know, I don't know what's going on. She let us in free. You know, we couldn't even get out the museum for her texting Tawana. You know, thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad I met y'all. You know, God showed us favor up there. You know, everywhere we went, we had favor. When we first got to that hotel, I was ready to turn around and come back. I was so upset, because when we first got married, we went to Chicago, and it was a weekend to remember. But I got up there in that room. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to start complaining, but man, I worked too hard for my money to be giving away for this, boy. I'm like, man, and folk had boosted this hotel up. It's, you got to stay in the Palmer House. You got them. Got up there. I'm like, man. Oh, I got the phone. I called down there. I said, look, ma'am, I said, I'm sorry. I said, but this room is too small. You open up the closet door, it's touching the bed. You open it all the way up, you can't see the TV on the wall. I said, ma'am, I can't stay here. You know, I said, I want this to be a weekend for me and my wife to remember. You know, I don't want it to be a time not to remember, you know. So, well, Mr. D's, Al, I'll have your room tomorrow. So, you know, I ain't going to be fussing. I said, yes, ma'am. So the bellhop came up. He came up with all our luggage. Hey, how's it going, Mr. D's? I said, Lord, I don't want to be complaining. I said, I got to tell him the truth. I said, man, I ain't happy, man. He said, what? I said, look. I said, we got to step out the room so you can bring the luggage in. That's how small the room was. I'm like, look, wait a minute. I'm saying, man, I just, you know, I can't give my money. I said, you know what? I can rent my bedroom for this. My bedroom bigger than this and look better than this. I'm like, this is crazy. So he said, wait a minute, Mr. D's, I'm going to see what I can do. I said, no, man, that's all right. I said, you asked me. So I told him, he said, no, we're going to get this right. So he made some phone calls, and he brought up this. The lady name was Christian. The bellhop name was Kenneth. Then he got a hold of Ishua, and he came up. He was the hotel manager for the night. So he came up and said, what's going on? And he looked at me and said, Brother D's. All I had on was some jeans and stuff like that throughout our trip. I was referred to as Brother D's. Brother D's, what's going on? I said, Ish, man, look. And I gave him the same story. He took off his ID. He said, as a person, I wouldn't pay for this either. He put his ID and said, I'm going to get you something. Get you something tonight. So we got a bigger room that night. And then got in that room. I said, thanks a lot. He said, y'all order anything y'all want on the room service. It's on me. Don't just order whatever you want. And he looked at COVID and said, just don't order that $80 steak. So we got in the room, said, oh, well, this is bad. I'm looking at Tawana. She ain't said nothing. And I said, I hope I ain't making this trip horrible for her. We're just complaining. I'm like, but I know what she like. So she didn't have to say nothing. You know, if I had not said nothing got home, man, I would have heard it. I would have heard it. She would have been on the phone talking to my sister. Yeah, girl. And yeah, you know how y'all do. Yeah, he didn't say nothing. So I had to step up to the plate, you know, and be the man. But I was doing it in the right way. So they moved us in this other room. So, okay, this is fine. Try to use the bathroom. Toilet don't work. I'm like, good Lord of Mount Zion. So we got two maintenance men come up, Milton and Tim. And I was talking to them about the ordeal. And those guys shed some light on it. It was just a marvelous time talking and dealing with the people in the hotel. And when they got through, they put smiles on our face. Then we met another person named Tracy. And this is the seventh person. And she gave us, didn't say nothing to about the room. She gave us free this and free that. And I mean, I'm saying, Lord God, thank you. And I was laying in the bed that night. And the Lord said, I've given you the magnificent seven. It was seven people. And I looked at Covey and I said, you know what? It's not the hotel, Covey. I said, it's what's in this hotel. He said, yeah, Dad, it's the people. They so nice. I said, that's right. It's what's on the inside of you. You know, because I kind of wish we had this more. Because, man, we walked and walked and walked. That wasn't no vacation. I got back. I was so tired, man. I'm like, good Lord. But you know what? God give us the best. He gave us the best. And then they met this other lady, Latricia. She was cleaning the rooms. And I walked out and I say, man, that's a big old room. It's got two beds. He said, where you at? And I told her. She said, come on. She locked the door. She went around and showed me two rooms. I said, I want this room. So I called Ish. I said, Ish, I found a room I want. He said, I'll call you right back. He called out and he said, Trish, when you get through cleaning that room, punch it. He said, Brother Al, that room is in your name and my name. When they get through, you go down and get it. So God just blessed us tremendously. You know, God blessed us. I mean, it was an awesome trip because I had told them, I said, I ain't never coming back to Chicago. If I do, I'm staying somewhere I know. You know, but when I got through dealing with the people, When I got through dealing with what's on the inside, when people get through dealing with what's on the inside of you, they should love you. They should love God. After leaving your presence, it should be something that, man, there's something about that person that I really like. You know, it's something about them. So when I got through dealing with all of that, I said, you know what? I'm coming back to Chicago next year. But I ain't coming for them. I'm going to stay in the Palmer House. But I'm coming to make sure those seven people, I want to see those people again. So they made our day. You know, God can make your day. So it don't make no difference where you at. In a foreign land, trying to conquer this foreign land. God is with you wherever you are. It don't make, God is almighty. God is omnipotent. So it don't make no difference what's going on. It don't make no difference at all. So when God sent this witness, these two people out, he's sending a witness. But sometimes when you go, you're going by yourself, and that's when you got to have the witness. You got to have the Holy Spirit. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus was doing all of these things, he came to him by night, he said, can't nobody I know, can't no man do this except God be with him. All the miracles and things that you did, God got to be with you. And I bet he probably said, what must I do to be saved? Jesus said, except you be born with the water, of the water and the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So we got to have the Spirit of God. If you believe God, then you're born of God. That's what John say. And I have to touch on this, saints of God. So many times in my life as a believer, I was stepped on. I was made to believe that I wasn't saved because I didn't speak an unknown tongue. Until I started diving in the word myself, when asking by no question, I started looking, line upon line, precept on precept, and I came across John, 1 John 5. Let me read it to you. Y'all can go there too if you want to. I mean, people have me messed up. When you believe people, you can get messed up. But when you find out and believe the word and know the word of God and believe the word of God, you're all right. You're okay. It said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, we know God is a spirit. So if you believe in God, you're born of God. I'm saved. I say, Lord, what's this unknown tongue? That's just the evidence of the Holy Ghost. That's so many evidences of the Holy Ghost. You know, so I believe there's so many evidences of the Holy Ghost. But Lord, I say, I want that too. But people had me so messed up, had me believing that I was unsaved. I said, Lord, you know, and I ran across Paul when he said he speak in tongue more than anybody. He said, but he'd rather that you speak one or two words in a language that they can understand versus all these tongues that nobody don't know what you're saying. I said, well, Lord, in this tongue, I'm going to speak until you give me that unknown tongue. And then I'll speak. When the Spirit give me utterance to speak the unknown, then I'll speak the unknown. But as I know, and I know Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, I'm going to speak about Jesus. I'm going to give you Jesus. I'm going to tell you what Jesus done for me. I'm going to tell you what Jesus can do for you. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright morning star. Whatever you need, it's in Jesus Christ. Whatever you want, it's in Jesus Christ. You can't find it nowhere else. It ain't out in the streets. It ain't in the car. It's only in Jesus Christ. You got to dig into this word and find out who you are, as Sister said, but not just who you are, but whose you are. Paul said, you got to know whose you are. You got to know who you belong to. I belong to Jesus. Amen. You belong to Jesus. So it don't make no difference what kind of battle, what kind of obstacle that you are facing. Know that God is bigger and better and stronger than any obstacle. You can be a grasshopper, but God is almighty. God is awesome God. Yes. And there ain't nothing God can't do for you. Nothing. Amen. If it's healing, it's in Jesus. Yes. Salvation only is in Jesus. Yes. Ain't but two ways on this earth. the broad and wide way that Jesus said many is going to find, and that way is to destruction. But there is another way, the only way, the door that's on that highway, the straight and narrow way. If you going to be there, find that way. That's the only way to Jesus Christ. That's the only way to the Father, which is in heaven. You can't get there no other way. I don't care what nobody tell you. You can be so good, you ain't getting there. If you ain't came by way of Jesus Christ, you ain't getting in heaven. You can be so good. You can be the best person. You can be the person that gives the most. But if you ain't came by way of Jesus Christ, you ain't saved. You ain't going to be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You got to be born again, saints of God. It's time for us to move forward and stop looking back. We can't look back no more. When God delivered Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah, his wife looked back. We can't look back. Ain't nothing back there, Gwen. Nothing back there. We've been there. He delivered us from that place. What we want to go back for? Ain't nothing there. Death and destruction. That's all that's back there. But Lord, thank you for putting me on the path of righteousness. For his name's sake, he did it. Not for my sake, for his name's sake, he did it. Saints of God, look, let us press toward that mark of the prize of the high calling, which is only in Jesus Christ. And know that God is with you and God is for you. And if you ain't been born again today, here's an opportunity to be born again. You ain't got to say no sinner's prayer. I ain't seen that in the Bible. I was taught a sinner's prayer, but I ain't seen one. The Bible said, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you shall be saved. All you got to do is believe. And when you start believing, you just got to turn from your wicked ways. You just got to turn from the things that you used to do and start doing what he say do. You got to do it by the book now and not by the street, not by your friend, not by your cousin. You got to do it by the book. It is written. We have a map. So if you ain't been born again, if you ain't came to Christ, here's an opportunity. We're opening up the door, not to the church, but we're opening up the door to salvation. If you ain't been born again, if you want to come back, if you're backslide, if you've been out too long, here's an opportunity. Well, saints of God, I thank you. I praise God for you, and I do thank you for your support. If you need prayer, we have people that will stand and agree with you for prayer. If you need prayer about anything, we'll touch and agree with you and believe God. That's all we got to do is touch and agree. Amen. The word of God works. Come on, somebody help me pray. Come on.